Today, a budget smudget as the announceables flow. Halligan, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news. The budget on Tuesday evening comes an interesting time in the life of the current government, as well as for ordinary Australians. With a year or so to go before the next election, which must be held by May 2025 at the latest, or perhaps sooner if Albert Caesar went for opportunity, this would normally be a giveaway budget to set the scene, except that with inflation still strong and being driven by local factors such as wages growth and energy costs, as well as high housing costs thanks to very strong migration, the headroom is limited at best. The announceables so far, which have continued through the weekend, are portraying it as a responsible budget aimed at containing inflation, supporting housing, and, quote, good for women. The long-awaited application of super to parental leave from July 2025 will cost $1.1 billion over 4 years, and then $623 million a year after that. In March, aged care workers were granted another rise of up to 13.5%, beyond the $11.3 billion directly for wages and $2.8 billion for providers to cover associated on-costs such as leave, liabilities and compulsory superannuation payments for staff made last year. But the government applied to have that additional 13.5% increase delayed by almost 2 years due to concerns a large pay jump would fuel labour shortages by attracting workers from other sectors. And the ALP will be promising $12.3 billion in new housing programs, having struck a deal with the states to inject more cash into construction, including a 5-year agreement on social housing. A key element of the deal is a $1 billion payment to the states to build roads and other infrastructure to support new housing developments. The $12.3 billion will be spent over 5 years. It includes $1 billion for emergency accommodation for women and children, $1 billion for infrastructure, and $9.3 billion relating to a national agreement on social housing. They will also continue to focus on students, with new agreements with higher education providers to require universities to add more accommodation for overseas students. The budget papers are expected to forecast a drop of net migration from 518,000 to around 260,000. But actually, in January 2024, there were 567,505 overseas students in Australia. And while China continues to have the most overseas students at around 115,000, the number from India at 97,000 and Nepal at 48,000 have increased dramatically. The truth is, of course, most of those students support themselves by working in the Australian economy while here, which blows the concept that international education should be classified as an export, which is claimed by the universities to be Australia's second largest. As Associate Professor Salvatore Babernes in his latest book, Australia's Universities, Can They Reform? Says, in reality, everyone except perhaps the government and the universities knows that many international students pay for their courses out of the proceeds of their work in country, often working excessive hours under exploitative conditions in violation of their visa terms. For many South Asian students, a student visa is a very expensive but thinly disguised work visa. In other words, the latest migration policy changes have targeted non-genuine students and dishonest education agents and colleges who've poached genuine students from respected universities and providers. And as we know already, the government is looking to pick investment winners in the Australian manufacturing strategy with a focus on some interesting picks such as quantum computing or manufacturing of solar panels, aping the big investments in green and related industries from the likes of the US, the EU and China. So all up, spending has risen by more than $200 billion since Labor was elected, while income tax takes have also been lifted dramatically at a time when households are being crushed by high inflation, energy costs and accommodation costs. So it will be interesting to see where the final numbers land in the budget papers, but the question will it be inflationary, deflationary or neutral? But given the $12 billion tax cuts already baked in is equivalent to a 1% rate cut, while the cost of living is still the number one concern among voters, the question will be whether Chalmers will spend too much and so stokes inflation. If he does, he'll know that he'll own that next interest rate increase. Remember that the RBA Governor Michelle Bullock said at a press conference on Tuesday the board did consider raising rates at its meeting the day before and might have to revise its forecasts after the federal budget and spate of state budgets. I'm conscious that there are budgets coming up, she said. The point I would make is that the federal treasurer Jim Chalmers says publicly, and he says to me privately, that he does have inflation in his mind while he's thinking about the budget. In fact, Chalmers said this week his goal was to chart the responsible middle course between those who want us to slash and burn in the budget and those who think that it will be some kind of free-for-all spending. Others less charitable might say it will contain a wodge of announceables, which sounds good, but which are not tackling the real long-term issues facing Australia. Remarkably, it seems further taxpayer funds will flow to the construction sector. And while the government's goal of 1.2 million well-located homes built in 5 years, starting from 1 July, remember that just 12,850 homes were approved for construction in January. This seems a gulf which needs way more than announceables and political party tricks. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.